Coming up on Dig It.
It's sort of been sort of fair game to bully Brooklyn Beckham for years. Everyone's done it. He's just a child. He's obviously very fragile, really fragile, understandably, for all the reasons that you've just said.
Do you know what? I think I bumped into Jude Law maybe three times in various kind of shops or supermarkets. And every single time I walk up to him, I go, I named my son after you. And every time he's like, did you? Oh, wow. One of the ladies shouted out, she went, there's some first aiders in here. Would you like me to go and get the first aiders for him?
Oh, God.
All of that right after this.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I was having a sort of normal week, minding my own business, and suddenly last night my phone went crazy. And I was like, what the hell has happened now? And it's at the moment, with the news being so horrendous, when the phone goes like that, it really scares me sometimes. I think, God, something horrendous happened. Because the world around us, I'm looking, thinking, what's going to happen to us all? And it was Brooklyn Beckham had dropped that Instagram story, which is like kaboom. My goodness me.
I know. What did you make of it? What do you think?
Oh, do you know what? I feel such sadness for the whole family because, you know, it's just turmoil in a family, isn't it? And it makes you think about your own family. You know, I think about my kids. I think about, you know, when there's been drama in my family in the past where people have fallen out. It can be so upsetting. And then they're doing that in front of the entire world. And, you know, I don't know David and Victoria, but I've interviewed them both a couple of times over the years. They've always been lovely. You know, I used to look at the family and think, oh God, can you protect those kids, those poor kids? They're growing up so in the public eye. But I know that they've always been very tight-knit and they've really tried to look after the kids. But this just feels so heartbreaking on both sides. You can see, you know, his boy, young man, stuck between his family and his wife and his wife's family. And a bit like Harry, in a way, Prince Harry, he's obviously trying to do the right thing of protect his wife, you know, his love. And oh my goodness me, it feels really, really sad.
There's that saying, isn't there, that you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. And this is devastating. Can you imagine? And this will have been going on for years and years and years for David and Victoria. And watching Brooklyn and having a difficult relationship with him, seeing how unhappy he has been, because he makes that very, very clear, doesn't he, in the statement, that he's been struggling for a very long time.
Yeah.
And within a family, kids have different personalities and they deal with things in a different way. I've always felt this kind of kinship towards that family because they've got four children. They're similar ages to my children. So as they've grown up, I've seen them and it's been like so many parallels. And out of my four, you know, there are certain kids in the family who really love showbiz and they're really happy and they're very flamboyant. And then there are others who absolutely hate it and don't want anything to do with it and are kind of more anxious. And that is obviously, I think, where Brooklyn falls into it. So maybe he's been put in situations in the past where he's not felt particularly comfortable, but to keep everybody happy, he will do the family thing, the showbiz thing, and have his photograph taken. He'll do social media. But at the heart of it, maybe he's inside really, really unhappy in that scenario. And oh my gosh, it's heartbreaking. The whole thing is absolutely heartbreaking. I would not want to be on either side of the family at the moment, would you?
No,
the conversations
not at all.
That must be going on, knowing how to deal with that situation now for Victoria and David. You know, and your kids will always criticise your behaviour. They will always have an issue, but they will also love you fiercely as well.
Yeah.
I can't quite believe that they've not been able to work this out as a family between them. But like you say, there is another family involved now. There is a wife and there is her family. And there is obviously deep, deep conflict and seemingly no resolution.
I think also with Brooklyn, I've always felt a bit for Brooklyn because as the eldest kid, and you could see him trying to cut his own way in life. And people have sort of bullied him en masse on social media and in the papers about his photography, about him being a chef. And it's like that poor kid, he's just trying to, you know, he's in this huge family. The glare is on them. And it's sort of been sort of fair game to bully Brooklyn Beckham. For years, everyone's done it. People have done it. You know, and if you're sort of criticising here, you just think, oh, yeah, I've looked at pictures of him and thought, you know, what is he doing? So that's been a lot for him to take.
He's just a child. He's obviously very fragile, really fragile, understandably, really fragile. For all the reasons that you've just said.
And when you read that statement, you know, Brand Beckham is obviously, you know, a big business. There's been all sorts of rumours about various behaviours within the family anyway, and they fiercely try to protect that brand. And I cannot imagine how difficult that is, you know, for the kids to see. Mm. And, you know, there's all the footage as well, isn't there, of them doing the lineup for the documentary. And you can see there's the footage of Brooklyn and Nicola being ushered into this family photo, and they are clearly uncomfortable. And you look at that thinking, oh God, it's so clear what's happening here, that there is discomfort. And you're right. How sad to not be able to figure this out away from the glare of the public. And where we don't know how, there's obviously two sides to the story, but there's stuff within his statement that you think, oh my goodness me, the whole reference to his name and whatever the hell that was about. It's clearly two big families trying to protect their brand, protect their names. You know,
it's like Dallas or Dynasty. It's turned into this.
It is. It's like
thing.
Succession.
It's a soap opera that we are all buying into. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, of course, we've been looking at memes and we've been following the story. But then as mums as well, there's a whole other side to this, which is just so much more tragic. And he obviously knew what he was doing with that statement. Some of the words, some of the things that he said, he knew how hurtful and the impact that these would have on Victoria, like the whole thing about her dancing at the wedding.
Dance.
His terminology is like, it's so vitriolic, it's so painful. He knew the impact that would have. And that is coming from a place of either deep pain,
deep
anger.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to cause immense anger amongst the siblings. You know, I bet his brothers and his sister are furious with him because they will want to protect their mum and their dad as well.
It brings complication into their relationships, doesn't it? Because
doesn't it just?
Yeah, it must be really. I was thinking of his little sister, you know, to see that happening to your parents and to your brothers and on such a public stage, that's really upsetting for all of them to have to deal with. Yeah. And they are really personal stories, aren't they? They really, everyone saying we need to see the dance, and the memes about the dance are pretty quite.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as a mum, it's like, God, we do, as parents, we do things that embarrass our kids. You know, my kids are mortified sometimes out and about in public if I do certain things, or even just in the privacy of our own home. But you're right. He's obviously so hurt on a huge level. And that is, so to write, that's quite a personal thing to write in this statement. And whether he's doing that to say, look, I'm trying to demonstrate here an example of when I've been humiliated, you know.
Yeah.
I talked to Nell actually on the school run this morning, and I was saying, you know, it's a different situation. But our kids, you know, we're not like the Beckhams, your family and my family. But our kids have grown up in the public eye, and they see us in a public situation. And when you're out and about, people say hello, and if you're at Glastonbury, people take photographs. So they've sort of seen, they've had an element of that in their lives. And Nell said, yeah, there are positives. You get to do great fun things, have great opportunities. We've been very privileged. But with that does come the pressure slightly of seeing the emotional side to relationships and stuff, you know, printed in the press. Everybody knows your business. She sometimes wonders if people are friends with her because of who she is or whether it's because of, you know, the connections. And obviously that growing up situation of, will you be allowed to make a name for yourself without the Nepo baby title and the pressure that that will then bring?
Yeah, my kids have gone out of their way to deny that they're my child quite often. And they're yes. also, they're very, I mean, you know, genuinely yeah. when it comes to getting
name
work,
changes.
You know, they'll use a different name. yeah. And they will, you know, they've all got a story where somebody says something which makes it blatantly clear that they are only being spoken to or they've only got attention because of who their mum is. And that is so painful and makes them so angry and makes me really angry as well. Yeah. And it just gives them, you know, they don't know who they can trust. So actually their circle of friends are very tight and they're very close, and they tend to be people that we've known for years and years and years, and they've now become like family. But it does add a layer of complication when it comes to making your way in the world, getting a job, having friends, having a relationship. It definitely complicates things. And, you know, the Beckhams are next level.
I just keep thinking of Victoria being so devastated. Because if also that other thing, and our diggers will have had this, where perhaps your kids or your parents have dated people where you have found those relationships difficult and it's not a natural fit. Because it isn't always, is it? You know,
no.
As a parent, sometimes you look and go, okay, I'm just going to be supportive and I'm just going to be here for you. I'm not sure if this is going to be good for you. I don't
Let's
like,
see how it pans out.
Let's see yes. how it pans out. I will be here for you, whatever. And you sort of determine not to say anything if you think your child's with someone who might not be good for them.
Yeah.
That is so difficult, that sort of stuff. And in the same, the other way around, you know, lots of friends of mine have had parents in relationships that have been tricky. It's not always been easy for my kids, you know, seeing problems in my relationships. So you've got all of that, but you've got to do that in front of the world's press. And the press yeah. are having a field day. Social media yeah. is having a field day. So this is only going to intensify for both sides, isn't it? It's going to be quite horrendous.
And there's also the danger of who is villainized in this whole scenario as
yes.
well. At the moment, you know, Nicola is getting it in the neck, but then also Victoria's getting it in the neck. And I don't feel comfortable with the fact that it's the women who are
it's
getting all
the women.
Flack.
Yeah.
And that is not ideal in any way, shape or form. So we must be very, very careful to look at everybody and to understand the complexities of this relationship and this whole family breakdown, which is what it is. It's complete yeah. and utter breakdown.
Also, I feel, you know, for those kids, they can't step out of their house ever, really, any of them, without, you know, I mean, can any of them just pop down to Greg's? Can any of the Beckham kids just pop, you know, it's, do they have to
I guess
have
they can with massive
with
hoods on.
With hoods on, with disguises. But also, is there yeah. a way to remove yourself from public life? Because if you look at Harry and Meghan, Harry was very much, I just want to protect my wife. I just want to step away from this. And actually, they just, that didn't really happen for either of them. But you look and it does, if we believe the press, it does seem like there's signs there might be a reconciliation, even if it was for Harry and his dad. Again, this is just the press. We don't know if this is true or not. And that kind of gives me hope for them. I don't know these people. But you, as a family, you think, oh God, I hope they work this out. I hope, you know, for yeah. their kids, for their grandkids. But this at the moment, yeah, it just looks so painful on both sides that I don't really see where it'll go.
The fact that they have not been able to pick up a phone
and just sort it out
or meet in a room, have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thrash it all out, scream and shout at each other, cry, and then ultimately just go, oh God, you know what? We just really, really love each other. Let's try and get on together. Let's try and make this work.
Yeah.
That is the tragedy. That is the saddest thing. But maybe, hopefully, they'll get to that point. I'm not entirely sure they will after this bombshell. I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Watch this space, I guess. I bet Piers Morgan is going crazy trying to get that interview, don't you think?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Everybody. Well, Oprah. And that's the thing, loads of the memes.
I'm really hoping it's Oprah, not Piers Morgan.
Oprah. Oh, and then everybody's dissecting every single interview Victoria's ever done, every interview David's ever done. Everybody's begging for the footage of the dance. The thing that is kind of making me smile, which, you know, we shouldn't really because it is a sad story, but some of the, you know, the ideas, was the inappropriate dance a bit too racy or was it because she did the Macarena or something like, because my kids would be like, Mom, stop dancing. Mom, please.
But this is the thing. Yep, surely if in that, this is what I don't understand, because in that scenario, I would be taken down. If I tried to intervene when my son and daughter or daughter and son-in-law were going to have their first dance, somebody would literally take me out before I got onto the dance floor and they'd be like, Mum, do not embarrass yourself. Do
what
not do this.
What are you doing?
So it's a bit weird. Yeah, it's a bit weird that it actually unfolded and it actually happened, because that we would never get to a point where that could possibly happen.
Yeah, I know. You'd be wrestled to the ground.
Yeah.
Mum, no, stop. Oh, goodness me. It's just been Blue Monday, supposedly the bluest Monday, the day that people feel the lowest. And can I just say, Joe, I, for the first time, have really had bad January blues. I think it's a slight mixture of stuff. Nell's been at her dad's for a couple of weeks. I'm not working loads at the moment, so I'm sort of getting used to a new regime. And it's been really sort of grey and rainy and cold. And, you know, we're only halfway through January. And I was like, this is it. This is it. I was getting into, I mean, the other day I got into bed at 6 o'clock. I was so cold. I couldn't warm up. Into bed. I've been watching a lot of dramas and I've had to have a word with myself of, right, you have to tackle this. So I've been making myself go for walks, even if my hip is killing me. It's like, get outside, go for a walk. On Saturday, I made myself do the garden. I was just tidying up the leaves and pruning the roses. Thanks to Pollyanna for a brilliant how to prune your roses video that she's put up on her socials. Pollyanna Wilkinson, we love her. And I've just been trying to sort of counteract it, this sort of low feeling of, oh gosh. So I don't know if anyone else is going through it. And I did think, you know, I've often thought Blue Monday. But this year I'd really thought, yeah, I totally get it. It is a time, isn't it? Because then it's so dark in the morning and most people are going to work in the dark. They're coming home and it's dark. And you're just sort of thinking, please, spring, can you start showing signs?
I think it's been extraordinarily grey this January. The sky just feels like there's been a blanket of grey above us all. And I think that really affects your mood. It certainly has me. I was struggling so hard last Monday. I was watching back the podcast and I thought, God, I can see in my eyes that I really was not having the best of times. I've really, really found it extremely hard. Last Monday, when I was feeling really bad, I did that thing that you've just said. I thought, I've got to get my act together. Yeah. I really have. And I went for a run last Tuesday. I made myself on Monday promise that I would go for a run on Tuesday. And then Tuesday, it was pouring the whole day. And I just thought, I've just got to do it because I can't stand the way I'm feeling. I can't carry on like this. I need to do some exercise. And that is the thing that stops me feeling sad. So I put on a waterproof and I got out there and I ran around the lake. I was the only person that was running. I was the only person out, but I felt better afterwards. And then I made myself go for another run and
endorphins.
It has been a matter of really having a word with myself and making myself do something. Yeah. This is as shit as I want to feel. I've got to try and stop feeling this way. I've got to do something to lift the mood.
I think that's when the garden really helps. I'm like, oh, the signs of life of spring, bulbs are starting to come up.
Yeah.
Prune the roses, starting to plot where the greenhouse is going to go, all those things. So they are helping. So I'm interested to know from our diggers, what are the things you do when you're feeling blue? And are you feeling it particularly this January? Because, you know, a lot of people might look at that Blue Monday as some kind of, you know, everything gets named, doesn't it, and titled.
It was a marketing tool, wasn't it? Originally, it was about getting people to go on holiday.
Yeah, book a holiday.
It was like, okay, Blue Monday, book a holiday, make us some money. Yeah, but now it is a thing.
But I do like the fact that, you know, charities like Samaritans sort of counteract that with Brew Monday.
Yeah.
I think that idea was lovely. Brew Monday, you know, pop around and have a cup of tea with someone who, you know, you might not see. I think that's the other thing, isn't it? It's make the effort to see friends. my friends came round. Yeah. They'd been on a big walk and they popped round for a cup of tea and they bought some biscuits. And we just sat and caught up for an hour. And we actually talked a lot about grief because my lovely friend had lost her dad recently. And we were talking about her grief and my other friend had lost her mum. And we just sat and had this lovely chat about our kids and our lives and about the grieving process and all the different places that we were in with that. And that was just wonderful. So it's like, get your face out. You've got to get outside, haven't you? And like you say, you do your running. For me, it's walking at the moment.
I met up with one of our friends the other day with the Don, Monty Don. He was on my show.
You saw Monty.
So I saw Monty, which is always half an hour well spent. But I spoke to him about mental health. I'm being attacked by Nemo so badly.
Is he round the back? I could just keep seeing you going, what?
He's such a rascal. Oh, he's round the back and he's tangled up in fairy lights at the moment.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, back to Monty. Monty Don has talked a lot in the past about how he hates November, December, and then going into January. So I saw him in this week and I said, oh, how's it been for you? And he said, actually, do you know what? January is okay because there is hope. And there is work to be done. He said in November, December, you're putting things to bed and everything's a bit down. Whereas in January, he said, just think to yourself, I'm going to get my house in order. I'm going to get my garden in order. And I thought that was such an amazing piece of advice. So if you are sitting there and you're feeling like you don't know what to do with yourself, look around your house, look around your garden, think about your friends, think about people in your life and just think, right, what do I need to do? Give yourself some bullet points of work that you need to do to set yourself up for the months ahead and the year ahead. I felt really inspired by that. I felt very hopeful. And I did come home and I looked in the garden and things have been going on. I went and bought some plants to put in the garden. But I thought, get your house in order is a very good phrase.
Monty Don, get that on a tea towel. There we go. There's our merch sorted. Brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, you're so right though. Any time with Monty is time well spent.
Funny story when it comes to running. So I did my run in the rain on my own. And I really enjoyed it. I listened to a podcast. I'm actually getting myself into podcasts now and realizing the benefit. They can make a run so much more bearable.
Which one do you listen to?
I listened to The Rest Is Entertainment.
Yay.
Which was great because they were looking at films and TV and stuff that's coming up for the year ahead. And I'm trying to catch up with you because you know so much. And I'm like, I've got to get myself educated. So I listened to that. But then I went for a run with Cass and Steve. And we're all hoping to do the London Landmarks half marathon in April. And we went and it was really sunny. It was a lovely run. We went round and I thought Steve and I'd be catching up because we hadn't seen each other very much. And after about 10 paces, it was very apparent he wasn't going to talk to me for the whole way round.
Head down.
Because he was struggling a little bit. So I was talking in the end. I just gave up and I was like, oh, okay, fine. It's one of those runs. Cass just ran on ahead because he's so much faster. And then we got to the end and I waited for Steve to catch me up. I'll just add that in. And we got to the end and he just crouched down on the ground and he was coughing and he had his head in his hands. And I went up to him and I was like, going, come on, well done. That's your first run of the year. That's really great. And then these two women who were, you know, a decade or so older than us, I noticed them looking at us and then they walked towards us and one of the ladies shouted out, she went, there's some first aiders in here. Would you like me to go and get the first aiders for him?
Oh, God.
And I thought she was joking. Honestly, we thought she was joking. And then I looked at her and I was like, no, you're serious. You actually think
she
that he's like...
He's having a bit of a moment.
He's about to collapse.
Oh, God, poor guy. I was hoping at that point she was going to say, is that Disco Steve of the Christmas quiz? And that she'd recognised him.
He was a bit grumpy.
Was he? Oh.
But then afterwards he was... As always, you never regret a run. So he was very happy and pleased with himself that he'd done it.
I'm really impressed.
But yeah, that made my January.
Poor guy. He's going to love you for telling that story.
Don't forget to hit follow or subscribe wherever you watch or listen. That way you get new episodes directly.
Well, if you have been feeling a little bit blue in January, something that has definitely cheered me up and made us all smile is the 2016 nostalgia. Everybody looking back, it's only 10 years. I find that mind-blowing as well. 2016 feels like yesterday, but it's 10 years ago. What? So everyone's been looking back at all their videos and their photographs. Joe, have you had a little delve into what the Dickens you were up to in 2016?
Yeah, no, I did. It was a really, really busy year for me. I saw the great things I did. Like, some friends of mine were fashion designers and they asked me to go on the catwalk. So I did it. Jude did it with me as well. And we are wearing, if people are watching this, you'll be able to see, like, the biggest wigs
you've ever seen
in your life. So I have this massive, I mean, it looks like a huge, like 10 candy flosses on top of my head, this white wig.
It's so funny. You look amazing. Oh,
it was fun to do.
Was it heavy? And was it scary?
It was scary seeing myself in the mirror like that. But it was scary doing the catwalk. Yeah, I could never, ever, ever be a model at all. But it was really, really fun to do. Like the insanity of getting dressed and then like the nerves, the anxiety before you walk out in front of all those people. And people are literally pinning dress bits to you as you go. So it was an insight into the modelling world. And also I did so many sporting activities that year. So I did the Ride London, the Cycle London, that thing. So that was one of the hardest sporting things I've ever done.
How far is it?
Oh God, I don't know. I think it was like 26 miles. Oof. I found it incredibly difficult. But the most fun thing I did was a mud run. And I did it with all my mates and all the kids. And it was just brilliant. It was really like exerting really hard, but you literally had to dive under the mud. There was a big beam of wood and the only way to get past it was to go under, submerge yourself completely under the log. And then you come up the other side, just completely caked in mud. And we had to jump off really great heights into, you know, quarries and run miles and jump from log to log to log, falling in the mud and the water. But it was my favourite thing I've ever done of any sporting activity.
Can I just say, it looks to me like hell. I do not like being damp if I've come in for a walk. I mean, the idea of having damp, muddy pants, chafing thighs, itchy armpits, submerging yourself in mud, jumping into a quarry, being cold, doing exercise.
Well.
I mean, that is my idea of absolute hell.
No, but it's my idea of heaven.
I know. Look at your face. You're so excited remembering it. And your face in the picture, you look like you're having the time of your life. That would be, if anyone needed to torture me, they'd just say, "Oh, you're going to go and do a tough mudder." I'd be like, "No, I'm not." I'd probably cry.
The best thing to do, though, is to do it with people like yourself. Like, you know, I did it with a whole bunch of friends and none of us were massively fit, but we were all different abilities. But just that team spirit of encouraging each other and total strangers just going, "Come on, you can do this," and helping you along and going up really high heights, things that you're absolutely terrified of. And then when you get down the other side, you're like so proud of yourself, what you've done.
There's heights.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There was also, I found when I was looking through 2016, a whole bunch of boomerangs. Do you remember the
craze
of doing boomerangs?
I still don't know how to do them, but yeah.
No, I don't either. I had all like variety of guests that came in on the radio show, from REM to Sting and then Robbie Williams, we did in concert with him. And it's just that repeated movement. You're pulling a face and you're doing it over and over and over again. So yeah, there were loads of boomerangs, if people remember those, on my camera reel.
2016, again, for me, I look back through the photos. I was like, oh my God, I did so much. I did the red carpets at BAFTA and got to talk to Spielberg and Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet and some amazing people. I always used to really love doing that gig. We took our kids on a road trip to California.
Oh.
And it was such an amazing time with the kids. We started in San Francisco. We went to Yellowstone. We went to Big Sur. We loved Santa Barbara. And we ended up in Los Angeles and we did all the theme parks with the kids. The kids absolutely loved it. So that was it was kind of the last big holiday we had together as a family, because later on in 2016, we actually got divorced. So it was kind of it was a year of two halves. And, you know, the writing was on the wall for us.
The writing was on the wall.
Yeah. But, you know, I think for the kids that it was such a lovely holiday and we all really enjoyed it. So that was quite special.
So you have great memories of that time together. And because you still get on now, that is lovely. It's lovely that you have that.
It is. I don't have great times of the latter part of the year. It was really hard. Getting divorced is so tough on everybody, you know, the kids especially. And so I think looking back, I was a bit like, oh God, yes, that was quite a year. in the autumn, I did It Takes Two, Strictly It Takes Two. And that was like therapy for me because it was going to the happy place every day when things were really tough, you know, between us. It was so sort of heartbreaking. But going to It Takes Two, you know, the glitter dome, as we called it. And that was the year, the gift of Ed Balls and Catchy Jones and Gangnam Style. I mean, it was a strong year. It was when Ore won with Joanne Clifton. We had Danny Mac in that series. So that was, yeah. So it was kind of like a sort of a year of two halves in a way.
Highs and lows, yeah.
The highs really. And lows, yeah.
I think it's so funny that I feel like there's a massive, if not one, but maybe a herd of elephants of us not talking about Strictly, but I'm not going to go there, but I think it's very funny.
Oh gosh, we're not talking about that.
Number of people who stop me in supermarkets and go, so are we doing Strictly? And I just go, I have no idea, but I really hope so. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, moving on.
Do you know, we did the America road trip. We did the exact same thing. All the places you've just listed, we did that. And we nearly got divorced at the end of the holiday. I found it really
maybe this
unbelievably stressful. The organisation of those kind of things. Because you see all the happy photos and obviously you're going to some extraordinary places and you're together. And so it's incredible. But at the same time, I had a migraine, I think, for 2 weeks for the whole time, just like working out which hotel you were going to go to and then where you were going next and which way you should go and eat. And I just got so overwhelmingly stressed by the whole thing. It kind of overshadowed the whole holiday.
Oh, bless you.
A very, very sad thing. But maybe I bet other diggers might have had similar situations. There is just so much pressure to have the dream, like the ultimate holiday. And then it's just too much.
See, I quite like doing all that stuff. You know, one of us would drive and the other one would sit going, right, well, we could stay here. The other thing I quite like about a road trip is if you get to somewhere and you think, okay, this is all right, but we've kind of seen everything here. Shall we just drive on? One of Nellie's favourite stories about that holiday is when we were staying in Yellowstone and this lovely cabin in the woods. Oh my God, it was incredible. But she's like, yes, do you remember when there were all signs everywhere saying do not have any food because the bears come? And so you told us this. You were like, yeah, because there's these huge bears. And you've got to be really safe. And I said, and then you put me on a tiny camp bed right in front of the door. And she said, and all night I couldn't sleep because I was thinking, oh, great. Leave me out for the bears to get. I felt really bad.
That's so funny. Coco was paranoid about bears on that trip. Oh. It was like this mortal fear that she had. Everywhere we went, she'd be like, other bears. She was like hyper-vigilant the whole time.
We don't have giant 6 foot, 8 foot bears, do we? And they don't really want to eat humans, but they do want food. So yeah, poor Nell.
Do your kids tease you? You know, we talk about our children a lot. And obviously I know that they tease you, but what are the things?
This is quite funny because we saw Matt Damon being teased by his kids on a red carpet when he was promoting Netflix, the movie he's done, The Rip, with his mate Ben Affleck, and which I was going to watch this weekend. I ran out of time, but I will watch it. And he's being ribbed by his gorgeous daughters. And I was thinking about my kids, the things my kids rib me about. Nell says I've got no bants, which I get really upset about. Because I'm like, what do you mean I've got no bants? It's bants, Mum. And I'm like, no, you're just being nasty and ribbing me. That's not bants. So then we have a row about it. Woody will often take the mickey out of me when I get particularly ADHD. And he's like, Mum, get the diagnosis, get on the meds. When he came to stay recently, and I think by the time he left, I was at the door going, and I go from idea to idea to thing. And he's like, Mum, maybe you should get a diagnosis. I was like, so he's always ribbing me about that, which really makes me laugh. Yeah, there's some of the things. What about your kids?
I asked them this last night because I was like, I really can't remember. And they said, but Mum, what about the mumunts? And I was like, oh, yeah, the mumunts. So this is a phrase that's in the family. The mumunts are. For example, whenever we go on holiday or whenever we go away, there'll be a moment when we've had a really lovely day and I'll just kind of wander off into the distance and I'll maybe look at the sea and the horizon or wherever, a field. And I'll just reflect on what a magical adventure we've had and how lovely it's been. And I just take it all in and I kind of visualize everything and I take a mental picture. And as I'm doing that, I can hear all the kids in the background singing Coldplay. La, 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 da, 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 da. And I turn around and they are just bent double, taking the piss out of me because they're like, oh, God, she's having a moment now. And it's literally me just savouring everything and they just won't have it at all. And that phrase, magical adventure, I'm always going, should we do this? And I'll say the word either magical or an adventure in there somewhere. And that is it. I'm done. I'm savage for the rest of the day.
I love your kids. They're so brilliant.
There's too many of them. There's four of them. And they just, merciless.
I know. You've got a whole gang up against you.
Right. We're going to take a quick break at this point.
If you like these episodes ad-free, become a subscriber to The Potting Shed.
You will get ad-free and early episodes.
But most importantly, you'll be supporting the show.
Yeah, to subscribe, head to digitpod.co.uk or tap the link in the show notes.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Something I really loved this week was Andrew Scott, fantastic actor. We love and adore him. Just recently loved him in The New Knives Out. Obviously, he will always be Sexy Priest. Fantastic on stage.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic in person.
Sexy Priest.
Well, he was talking to American host of chat show, the brilliant Seth Meyers. This is such a good story.
How did you respond when people, I mean, I would imagine in London especially, people would start noticing you?
Yeah, it was really weird. It's such a weird thing because I'd worked as an actor for, you know, in the theatre and, you know, lots of films that nobody had ever seen for years and years and years. And, so, you know, about 15 years. So that experience was very unusual for me. So what I used to do was, I'm really big into drawing and art and stuff. So on the subway, on the tube, I just used to start drawing people just as a way of just not noticing, looking at people to avoid, you know,
being looked at.
And so, yeah, I used to draw these little sort of caricatures of people. And then when I got off at my stop, I'd give them the thing and then scuttle off before they thought, what the f*** is this? You know?
What a fantastic thing to do. It's like a, I don't know.
It was a good thing to sort of focus because it did sort of freak me out a little bit. Not anybody sort of near me, just like right down the carriageway.
Do you think people were aware that you were drawing them?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't.
Until the end when you were like,
yeah, because
this
that's
whole
a bit weird.
Time.
Exactly. Maybe it's a bit creepy, actually.
No.
Is that creepy?
I think it's nice. I will say there are people right now who like maybe have it still on their fridge and they're like, that was Andrew Scott.
Exactly.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my God, yeah.
And our brilliant team have found one of Andrew Scott's sketches that he did. This was shared by a chap called Chris. He drew me and my wife. We have it framed on the wall. Oh. Look, and he's even put thank you underneath it. Isn't that fantastic?
That's amazing. Yeah, that is so, so cool.
Oh, I love that. And as if we couldn't love him anymore.
Yeah.
And what a brilliant way to sort of deal with people who are going to look at you, because people can't help it. I've done it before where I've seen people and then you're like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. And then you look down and then you think, no, it can't be. You can't be. And it's look even better in the flesh. You know, and sometimes, I mean, you must have it as well, apart from the fact that I'm constantly mistaken for you. Is that Joe Wiley, love your show. Lovely to see you, Joe. But sometimes people do the double take, don't they? Do they do that? thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
The double
take. Well, they say your name. You walk along and you hear your name.
You can't help. So, Andrew Scott, what a great idea. Just sketch people.
Yeah.
And then give them as a gift. So, so good.
But there are those. They've been over time, quite often when it's Glastonbury or anyone's playing at O2, and pop stars travelling by tube to go there. So,
yes.
So the likes of Noel Gallagher on the tube or Jay-Z. And I wonder if any of our diggers have actually seen anybody on in a pub. You know, this is awful. I mean, that's just now exploiting the thing that Andrew Scott said he didn't like. But if anybody has seen somebody in an extraordinary place, then let us know. Like, have you sat next to Snoop Dogg on a tube? There must be somebody out there.
One of my favourite ones is that I always run into people at car hire places. Billy Piper, Tom O'Dell, Matt Haig, all I've met at car hire places when I've gone on holiday. One of my favourite ever holiday spots. Jason Donovan in the car park on holiday going to the beach. And then Laura Koonsberg in the pastor aisle in a supermarket in a holiday resort. And I deliberately,
bravo.
I love Laura Koonsberg. I love all the gang who do newscast, Adam Fleming, the whole crew, lovely Chris Mason. And I mean, they're like rock stars to me. And I deliberately was going down the aisle with my trolley. And I was like, I've got to go back. I've got to go back and speak to Laura Koonsberg. And I was really chuffed. I did. I just went up and super fanned and then probably went bright red and then had to leg it. And I was really chuffed. I was at the BBC the other day and she was just getting out of cab. She's like, Zoe, hello. And I'm like, Laura Koonsberg saying hi to me, by the way. Hi. So chuffed. So where's the strangest spot you've spotted a celeb?
Do you know what? I think I bumped into Jude Law maybe three times in various kind of shops or supermarkets. And every single, I cannot believe myself and I hate myself for it. Every single time I walk up to him, I go, I named my son after you. And every time he's like, did you? Oh, wow. I didn't actually name him after him. It was him and Jude the Obscure. And I just thought it was a really cool name. But obviously Jude was the Jude at the time when
yes.
When I was pregnant with my Jude.
He was the Jude.
But every time.
You tell him every time.
Bless him. He's always like, oh, really? Yeah. And I'm like, God, I've already told him that four times. Why do I do this?
I think the celeb I've run into the most was when I was staying in a particular part of London, I would always see the gorgeous Harry Styles.
Oh!
And I saw him in the pie shop, I saw him in the flower shop, and he has always been so adorable, Harry. He always says hello, because I always think he's probably trying to be conspicuous because everybody would mob him. He's so adorable. But, you know, a couple of times he's been in a hoodie and he'll be like, hello. And we've had these lovely chats. We had a discussion about pies once in this brilliant pie shop. He's like, which pie did you get? And he's always so lovely and adorable. And Nelly is furious and put out that she's like, how come you never run into him when you're with me? but he's wonderful.
I bet she is. Oh, my God. Of
yes.
course.
And he's bringing out new music.
Yes, I know.
Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally.
I can't wait for the story.
I think I might be the other way around. Disco All the Time, Kiss Occasionally, if I brush my teeth. No, looking forward to that. It'll be great. It was a very cute thing on his socials. So he's put up the visuals, I think, of the album cover, which looks amazing. But underneath, because he's been stepping out with the equally divine Zoe Kravitz. Oh,
amazing
couple.
Dream couple.
And Lenny Kravitz underneath had put a little, you know, yay emoji under. So all the papers are like, it's had the seal of approval of Lenny.
Yes. Now, I went on a real nostalgia trip with Coco. We went on a very long drive and we just played lots of Harry Styles. And it's just, I was so impressed with the production and the songwriting and the delivery and the variety of the songs. He works with Kid Harpoon.
Who's brilliant.
A real talent. And he's worked on the new album as well.
Yeah. So what's it going to be like?
God. Well, disco, hopefully.
Also, will he play Glastonbury? Because he's never played Glastonbury. Harry Styles.
So it'll be next year because there's no Glastonbury this year. So that would be perfect, wouldn't it?
He'd be amazing. Because again, he's so cross-generational, I think. And can you imagine as the lights going down? Oh, it'd be magic. Harry, please. Emily, please.
Imagine all the special guests as well. Lenny Kravitz will come out with him. Oh, God, there'll be so many people.
Has Emily said that they've already booked the headliners for Glastonbury next year? I mean, we're really getting far ahead here.
I think she has. Yeah, she said that she had a really good idea of who was going to be performing in 2027 already when it comes to the main acts.
Right, okay.
Listen, tell me about Phil Collins. Tell me about Phil Collins because you got to speak to him and we both said how much we love Genesis. I remember Phil Collins when he brought out his album and he did his iconic Top of the Pops performance with the drums in the air tonight. How is he now? Because he's had ill health in the past.
He has. And we have just worked on this great podcast called Eras, Phil Collins. It's a series on BBC Sounds. I think they've done Queen, they've done Kylie. And it's about the whole career of an artist and all the music they've made. So this one is Phil Collins, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts now. There's four episodes. And then the fifth episode is actually visualized. So I got to sit down with Phil. We talked about it a bit on the podcast. It was so wonderful to sit down with him. I've been lucky enough to meet him a couple of times throughout my career. I am such a huge fan, and he's really struggled with the ill health. He actually talked about it in the interview. He said, you know, you name it, I've had it. He's had issues with all sorts. He's had some real problems with his knee, but he's in pretty good health at the moment, and he was in great spirits. And we talked a lot about his career, looking back, his parents. We talked about his kids. We talked about the future. Told some great stories about, you know, when he first went to have his audition for Genesis, and oh, the stories. He has so many incredible stories. So if you want to have a listen to Eras, Phil Collins, all episodes are out now wherever you get your podcasts. And it's on iPlayer next Monday. That's the 26th. And you can watch on BBC Two next Saturday. That's the 31st.
So we have a genius production team, and they've just come up with something that they thought we should do. And it's an amazing title. It's called So and Tell. Eve, thank you very much indeed for coming up with that. And we just basically, we're going to show off as the year goes on all our things that we're sowing in our garden, and we want to show it to everybody. I'm not saying just me and Zoe, but all of you. So whenever you're doing anything amazing in your garden, maybe there's a little flower that's come out that you're particularly proud of, we want to see them. If you planted a tree, we want to see it. We want to see your garden design. Anything is called So and Tell, and we'll do it every single week. And we're going to kick it off ourselves. So I went to the garden centre yesterday, absolutely freezing. I was pretty much the only person there, but I bought some hellebores, and they are, it's such a gift when it comes to winter and January or December even, for amazing pops of colour. And they come in such a beautiful range as well. So they can be deep, almost black, plum. Then they can be dusky pink and white and cream. And they have really huge, impressive leaves, which you can cut back to expose the flower. And I bought a bunch of those. I've got a big galvanized steel trough, and I put them in there alongside lots of Erigeron, which are growing around the outside. And I'm very happy with the way it looks this morning. Really, really chuffed.
I just cut the leaves back on my hellebores in the garden. There's a few that didn't take. Yeah. I was really sad, but there's a few that they're doing really well. I've discovered, I think they're from Easy Plants. I've got lots of houseplants, and I have that whole thing of underwatering and overwatering houseplants. And, you know, some need more, some need less. Sometimes you can't remember what you've watered. I found these really great pots that are self-watering, and I put up a little picture here. Ooh. So you basically have your plant. It comes and you can buy them in a little pot here like this. And then you have this little corner that you take out, and then you fill with water, and you pour in a hell of a lot more water than I ever could have imagined. And then what you do is you just every now and again, you just check the level inside in this little thing. And it basically, I don't know how it works, but it's sucking up in the water into the plant, and hopefully will keep them sort of nicely watered for a certain amount of time without you having to, you know, panic or letting them go completely dry.
Yeah.
So I'm slightly obsessed with these. I got them from, I think it's called Easy Plant, the company I got them from. So I'll let you know how I get on with those. And I've tried to choose plants that are good in bathrooms and in low light. They're good. They tell you about, you know, where these house plants, where they are suited yeah. to be in your house. So I'll let you know how I get on with those.
Maybe this will be the year I'll embrace the house plant. I don't like them at all. And we've got, Siva's got like loads of money plants all over the house. But maybe this year, maybe I'll go to Easy Plant and get some plants. Ruth has been in touch, and Ruth has shown us her So and Tell. Let's hear from Ruth.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Joe. I just wanted to share with you my pottery and gardening skills. At the beginning of last year, I bought myself a greenhouse in memory of my dad, who passed away in August 2024. I love pottering around on a summer's evening at weekends, and I've had great success growing tomatoes, cucumbers, beans and courgettes. If I can grow it, I'll give it a go with the help of my 2-3-year-old grandchildren. Just before Christmas, I went to the bottom of the garden to have a look at the Christmas veg situation. Sprouts were a complete non-starter, but I think you can safely say that the parsnips were a great success.
Yay.
I literally threw those seeds in the ground and hoped for the best.
Oh,
I think that approach has worked very well. I also love to grow flowers too. Every Thursday, I attend a pottery class in Northampton, and I recently made myself a vase to display my flowers in. We have nicknamed ourselves the Thursday Pottery Murder Club. Wonder if you could give a special mention to Karen, our very patient teacher, Andy, Mick and Helen too, who I've met through going to pottery. Anyway, looking forward to listening to more digits when they become available. Bye.
Ruth, how wonderful. Look at her harvest of delights.
That's impressive.
Gorgeous tomatoes. I love those rib tomatoes. I can't remember what they're called. And the, she's done a great job. Do you know what, Ruth? This is inspiration for me because I am about to buy myself a little greenhouse. I haven't got a huge amount of space and my granddad Fred loved his greenhouse. And I think that's where the gardening bug in our family came from. We used to grow his tomatoes and used to smell amazing in his greenhouse. So yes, I'm going to get on to doing mine. And I was reading someone else this weekend just saying, throw some seeds into a bed, see what takes. And I was wondering if maybe that is quite a nice way to tackle veg, of just giving it a go and seeing if it works. Ruth, what a lovely thing to do in memory of your dad and your gorgeous grandchildren there helping you in the garden. That's very exciting. So if you want to send us what you're doing at the moment, any pots you're making. I was watching The Great Pottery Throwdown last night, which is one of my favourite shows. They're so talented. And I love that idea that you could go to a pottery class and meet a gang of friends. So take inspiration from Ruth there. If you've got anything you would like to sew and tell, get in touch with us, send us some pictures, some videos, send us a voice note, and you can find out how by checking out the show notes.
We actually ate some beetroot on the weekends that had been in the vegetable garden. India just walked past and she was like, "Oh, you've still got some stuff in the ground." So she dug it up. We've got potatoes as well. But we had beetroot with goat's cheese and walnuts and it was just delicious.
Divine.
Really nice. Hey, we talked about Harry Styles already. So obviously he is back and that's just so tantalizing and so exciting. But do you have any offerings? This is an alternative kind of sew and tell when it comes to stuff you've been listening to or reading.
I've got a couple of bits for crate digging. First, I've got a book from Caroline, who I completely adore, Caroline Idienz, who is Caroline Circuits. She's known as, you can follow her on Instagram. She started doing workouts during, I think during COVID. And she is so brilliant. And she's put a book together, which has exercises that you can follow. It's got like a weekly plan. So if you've got some weights and a mat and a chair, some bits at home, you can do workouts. And I started the daily workout from the book last week. And I'm really enjoying it. And Caroline's also put some recipes in here as well that I haven't tried any of those yet, but I will be. And it's called Fit at 50. Definitely one to share with our diggers because Caroline's fabulous. She's a real inspiration.
I was so pleased that you did that because I've been following her on Instagram for forever, but I just never got around, as we've discussed before, doing those classes. I just don't know how to fit it into my day. And maybe I'm just not the right person for that kind of thing. But a book, I'm definitely going to go and buy that book. Just have it in front of me to flick a page. I can do that. For some reason, my brain works really well with books and writing and pages.
Also, part of my cheering myself up, feeling a bit blue in January, was to pop to my favourite record shop in Brighton, Resident Records. And I found this reissue from 1987, David Sylvian. Do you remember this? Secrets of the Beehive. And I loved this album so much. It is beautiful. If I said Orpheus to you, would you remember that? And I haven't got my reading glasses on, so I can't see it. Just trying to remember some of my favourite tracks. Let the Happiness In. Do you remember that track? Oh, anyway, I love this album.
Oh, it's beautiful music.
Reissued on vinyl. So that was a lovely find. He made that with the fabulous Steve Nye. So that's one of mine. And then I wanted something new. And I'm really loving these guys, West Side Cowboy,
four
fab musicians who met at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester. And they've sort of come up with a name for their music, which I think they're calling Britannicana. So it's that kind of cross of Americana and then sort of British rock and punk. And Aoife, her voice kind of reminds me slightly of Adrian Lenka. And they are brilliant. There's it's just a little EP, So Much Country Till We Get There, it's called, and some great tracks on that. They caught my eye with the track Strange Taxidermy, because my brother Nick's obsessed with taxidermy. But this is such a great EP.
That's a really good track. I love that
it's
song.
Fantastic, isn't it? Can't See is really buzzy. Yeah. And then Don't Throw Rocks, another favourite. So West Side Cowboy, brilliant group. So there you go. They're my offerings on crate digging. this week. And I love going down the record shop. Oh, that always cheers me up. And I'm sorting out my stereo system at the moment. Yeah. What have you got for us on Crate Digging Joe?
I just wanted to reiterate Sienna Spiro and about how amazing she is. Last year I was playing her, and then she's got the song Die on This Hill. And she did a session for me last week, and just to see her in the flesh and to hear this amazing raspy voice. She kept apologising all the time because her voice was so raspy. And I was like, listen, if this is you not perfect, I will take this. And I'm just excited for you when you are perfect. And absolutely reminded me of Adele. When Adele sings those, like When We Were Young, those really beautiful torch songs, Sienna has that quality to her voice, just so unbelievably moving, mesmerising, very soulful as well. She's got a Dusty Springfield kind of look to her. And if you're talking future stars that will be around for a long time, I would put money on Sienna Spiro. I was so impressed with her. So, the session is there for you. It's on BBC Sounds if you want to listen to it. She was on my show last Wednesday, but really, really great. I loved her a lot. And one thing I'm excited about, which is coming out, I know, and that is a War Child album. So there was lots of speculation, rumours about who was going to be on this album. I think it was 30 years ago, there was a War Child album and it was called Help. And artists like the Manic Street Preachers, I think Suede were on there, and it was all charity going towards War Child. Well, they're doing it again now. James Ford, I think, has been involved in the production of this, and Fontaine's DC are rumoured to be very much involved, and Arctic Monkeys, which is obviously extraordinarily exciting. Any new music from Arctic Monkeys just gets me really, really excited. So I think it's going to be a proper quality album. Obviously, you know, the best charity in the world to be supporting. But I think it's going to be great. Amazing artists involved in that.
Was there any truth in the rumour that I think Nell said to me that the Arctic Monkeys were going to do this track for the album and then they were going to split?
Oh, God, I really hope not.
Is that nonsense?
That would be terrible.
I know. Well, Nell told me that. She said then they're not going to do anything else. I was like, really?
I think that's it for today.
What a lovely chat. We've covered a lot today. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. You've helped my January blues. No end, Joe. Thank you.
Like Monty said, get your house in order. There is brightness coming.
There is.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
I'm going to get out for a walk and do a bit more on my course. Have a great week, darling. Love you.
All right. Take care. Lots of love. Bye.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.